Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, clouds on the increase, so is there a growing chance for some rain going into this evening? We will have a high today around the mid-60s. In Kenosha right now, 45 degrees, 49 in Burlington, Milwaukee 51, it's 48 in Racine. We now know where Foxconn is going to build that proposed $10 billion LCD panel manufacturing campus. It's going to be in some areas, three of them in fact have been listed. First one is bordered by I-94 in Mount Pleasant at Highway H, Highway KR and Brown Road. Second area, south of Highway 11 from 94 to Highway H and Area 3 from Brown Road to Highway KR and 90th Street to Highway H. During the announcement event, Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave said three public information sessions are going to be held because this has a lot of moving pieces to fully understand.
Where we can share additional details and answer your questions. Let me be clear, we are committed to making sure your input is part of this process. This is a turning point in the history of Racine County, no doubt. We are in this together. At the informational sessions, we'll get to showcase Foxconn's awesome technology.
The first informational session Wednesday, October the 11th, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall. The second one will be Thursday, October the 12th from 5 to 7 p.m. That'll be at Racine's Memorial Hall. The third information session on a Tuesday, October the 24th, 5 to 7 p.m. That'll be taking place at Veterans Terrace in Burlington. Meanwhile, also during the ceremony, Foxconn's Dr. Louis Wu said that beyond the production facility, this is about partnerships and building a platform for the future.
So many new devices, new vertical solutions. We're looking for partnership. I think that's where the excitement is. It's not only just $10 billion. After we finish, there will be $30, $40 billion investment in this great county and in this great state.
Meanwhile, Mount Pleasant Village President Dave DeGroote said that they and their partners have been working on this for the land purchase thing for quite some time now. The village going to purchase land involved and then sell it to Foxconn. He didn't rule out the possible use of eminent domain to acquire the acreage. He's hoping it's not necessary. Said it could be several months, though, before all the land is actually under village control.
We have to form the tax incremental financing district, and we have to go through the public meetings in order to do that. We are expecting that we will begin closing on the land purchases in the very early next year.
DeGroote confirming the landowners have been offered about $50,000 per acre. A groundbreaking for the facility, he says, won't occur until all the land is acquired and secured, probably sometime early 2018. Now, this project would not lead to increased property taxes or a county sales tax, according to County Executive Jonathan Delagrave. It was crafted that way specifically. The $764 million investment, the incentive package, if you will, from the village and Racine County officials, including roughly $160 million of the total package going toward water and wastewater infrastructure. That would be like water mains from the city of Racine to the project site. Another $116 million dedicated toward public safety upgrades, a new fire station, and expanded police force. Company to pay a special assessment to cover public improvements related to the initial campus development. And there are going to be some road changes. Highway 11, Brown Road, Highway KR. That would go to six lanes from the interstate to Highway H. KR also made six lanes east of H, four lanes for Brown Road. An International Drive, that would be extended south to meet Highway 11. Now, Kenosha County officials are going to keep close tabs on just how this Foxconn development pans out in neighboring Racine County. Environmental impacts, potential traffic congestion, just some of the concerns for County Executive Jim Cruiser, but he says he knows the guy in charge in Racine County.
We're going to stay in close communication because we want that to be done right for them and right for us. And like in the history of our relationship, what's good for Racine is good for Kenosha. What's good for Kenosha is good for Racine. And if there's something awry, I know his cell number.
Jim Cruiser talking about that good working relationship with Jonathan Delagrave. And perhaps not wanting to be totally shut out of the spotlight, Amazon, which has a fairly sizable presence by the interstate in Kenosha County, a few miles from the proposed Foxconn site, testing its own delivery service, which could compete with UPS and FedEx. Bloomberg today reporting Amazon has been slowly marketing this delivery service to U.S. retailers, starting with West Coast testing and with plans to expand the service. Amazon oversees the pickup and delivery of packages from third-party merchants selling on Amazon, which FedEx and UPS currently handle. Racine's Redevelopment Authority set to meet at 6 o'clock tonight at City Hall. The agenda includes more white box grant requests for 324 and 318 Main Streets, also for 1028 Douglas Avenue. Requested reauthorization of a facade grant for 1318 and 1326 Douglas. Discussion of a budget for the RDA and the unveiling of a new economic development website. The Johnson Foundation at Wingspread has been leading a Resilient Communities initiative in trying to facilitate discussions about the seven Racine County communities east of the I operating in a more cohesive manner. That issue coming up in recorded interviews with each of the candidates for mayor in the October 17th special election. Corey Mason talking about an interconnectedness of each community, but the need to adapt for the changes that lie ahead, which can benefit everybody.
The discussion around does it make sense to merge services or not? And what do our boundaries look like? Are the boundaries equitable? Do they make sense? You know, maybe they made sense in 1975, but maybe they don't in 2017. And so I think when you put all of those things on the table, and have a real, honest, and frank conversation with the city and its neighbors, there's real potential to move the city forward and the community forward.
Sandy Weiner believes that Racine is already a very resilient community.
We've gone through a lot of changes over the decades, and the people there are so resilient. And that's really what resilience is. It's not the city or the place itself. It's the people that comprise it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the city of Racine is resilient. And I know as far as the participation in this program, the resilience should stretch beyond our borders, and I've always been an advocate of that. Reaching out to the surrounding communities and partner better with them as to what it will improve their communities as well as improving the city of Racine.
Resilient communities and other issues included in the recorded conversations with both mayoral candidates available again on the Johnson Foundation website. Speaking of those two candidates, a reminder they'll be participating in a Racine Taxpayer Association hour-long forum tonight. 7 o'clock, it'll be in the Great Lakes Room, the Gateway Technical College campus off Pershing Drive. City of Burlington, since February of 2015, has been challenging the DNR on the wastewater treatment plant phosphorus levels for the effluent put into the Fox River. Now comes a proposed settlement to allow more study time and potentially file an appeal with the next permit process. During the Common Council's Committee of the Whole meeting this week, the attorney for the city, John Belongic, told the alderman there initially was a challenge to an administrative law judge. Then it kind of lingered for a couple of years. Now a proposed settlement agreement requires some due diligence by the city regarding compliance, also reporting.
Do certain reports and take certain measures with respect to phosphorus. But according to Jim Kleinschmidt, a consulting engineer that we have used from the very beginning, who speaks phosphorus, I don't, we're okay doing that. And more importantly, we still have the right to challenge the limitation with the new permit coming down, I think around 2019. But in the meantime, we'll live with what the settlement arrangement provides.
The DNR is going to reevaluate the phosphorus limitation, which the city again can challenge if so desired. A consulting firm going to be presenting the council with alternatives in the fall of 2018. The Burlington Council will be voting otherwise on the proposed settlement on October 17th. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in it, in the local news section, and throughout the day. At WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.